This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Got a lot of great phone calls on the show yesterday, not only during our weekly legislative update with Speaker of the House Matt Regeer out of Kalispell, but even in the second half of the show as we kept taking phone calls and more. I've got some more information I want to share. We're gathering more information for you here on really, I think, the biggest, one of the biggest, if not the biggest issue facing our state right now, which is the topic of crime and the Mexican drug cartel fueled crime and violence and drugs that are hitting several parts of this state. They're hitting our reservations hard. They're hitting some of our larger communities like Billings and Kalispell in Missoula hard. And so our jails are crowded. Our prison is at capacity. And, you know, thankfully, the governor and the legislature, they're stepping up and they're increasing the pay for our corrections officers. So hopefully that will help with the recruitment of more corrections officers at our prison and elsewhere. They're looking at long-term things. Both sides of the aisle are looking at long-term solutions here. But Representative Bill Mercer, I think, was spot on in his remarks that we shared yesterday. And he's spot on with some additional analysis that he will provide for us here today in terms of the fact that really this whole crisis that we are facing right now is something that has been simmering and simmering and simmering for a long time now. But really, it's the fentanyl and the Mexican drug cartel fueled violence and drugs. That's the straw that has finally broken the camel's back. Although I don't know if you would call that the straw that finally broke the camel's back. It's a whole truckload of hay. It's a whole hay bale that's breaking the camel's back on this one. I mean, this isn't just a straw. This is like, you know, this is like my cousin driving that 18-wheeler full of hay across eastern Montana right now. That's what's breaking this camel's back when we talk about the Mexican drug cartel. And the drugs and the violence and the crime that we're seeing here in Montana. But then we've also had a population increase. So whenever you have a population increase, you're going to need additional services, whether that's healthcare, whether that's grocery stores, whether that's roads, whether that's sewers, and yes, even prisons and jails. And so what do we do about it all? And could the Hardin Detention Center be a place that we could use? Now, as I understand it, the Hardin Detention Center is currently under contract by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and they are using at least part of the city. That's what I've been able to gather in the last 24 hours. But either way, right now, Representative Bill Mercer is tied up in about five different committee hearings. He's got five different bills that are moving through the committee process this morning. Otherwise, we would have had him live on the radio with us right now. I was able to catch up with him earlier this morning and talk about all these big issues. Okay, what are we going to do in the short term? What are we going to do in the long term? Is Hardin an option? Is Arizona the only option here? Either way, we know that we have got to get these criminals off our streets. We have got to put these criminals behind bars. And we are in an urgent crisis that needs action right now. Not 2 years from now. After
Top Dollar, make your best deal right now. See us at Kenny Minhog Nissan in Billings or at KennyMinhogNissan.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So without rehashing the full show from yesterday, let's just do a quick summary for those of you who might have missed it here. This is the only game in town. There is an option right now to send 120 prisoners from Montana to a prison in Arizona. It's run by CoreCivic, the same company that manages the well-run facility near Shelby, Montana. There's no space here in Montana, but we have got to get these prisoners out of our jails that are clogging up the jail space in local communities. and we've got to get them into a prison system, because what's happening right now is criminals are being let right back out onto the streets, or they're not even being put behind bars in the first place because of a lack of jail space. Caught up earlier this morning with Representative Bill Mercer, and he made a great point. Look, this is a problem that has been building and building and building over several years.
I have long believed that Montana was short-sighted in terms of its secured facility space. I think we've always had sort of an unrealistic assumption that we could treat our way out of the need to really have adequate incarceration. And the chickens have come home to roost, because with population growth, significant addiction issues, and then, as you say, people that are bringing poison into the state in order to try to feed that addiction, we've got, and which then, of course, with meth in particular, spawns a whole lot of violence. So what I've been trying to talk about is that continuum of the criminal justice system. You got to have police and sheriff's deputies and other sworn law enforcement to investigate. And when they prove that a crime occurred, you got to have adequate prison capacity, prosecutorial capacity, charge the cases. And assuming that you get convictions, then what do you do with people at the back end of the pipeline? And we just don't have, when you have 280 people in local detention centers, which means jails, it means the Yellowstone County Detention Center, the Cascade County Detention Center, we have 280 people statewide that have been sentenced. And when they're sentenced, they're the responsibility of the state of Montana. They're not the responsibility of Yellowstone County. And so we got the local jails full, which is a problem that Sheriff Linder and the other sheriffs around the state, at least Sheriff Linder, will say, if one of my guys pulls someone over and we find out there's an arrest warrant for him, we can't execute the arrest warrant because we don't have any place to take them. That's really untenable. And so, yeah, we are having to build capacity, and we do have an immediate concern because the state doesn't have enough capacity to hold the people that are coming through the system. And we can't then just open up the door at Deer Lodge and at the women's prison and at Shelby and say, well, we really don't, the parole board really doesn't want to release you because it doesn't think you're ready to go, but we've got these other five people that we need to get in here right now. That's just completely untenable. So that's what we're trying to deal with up here.
Yeah, I thought that the response from legislative Democrats was just outrageous. They're saying, oh, well, we can just put these people in these pre-release programs. We can just put more people back out on the streets, was what their response was. But you know, I thought you had a great thoughtful response to the broader conversation too, which is, okay, hey, we need to look at a long-term solution here. Yeah, we do, but we don't have time right now. We've got a crisis on our hands. Let's talk about long-term solutions, but right now this is the only solution to address this crisis in the short term.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, and I have to say, I shook my head as I listened to some of that debate on the floor, because some of those very same people that voted against this idea that we needed to acquire 120 beds in Arizona in the over 24 and 25, they voted for a mandatory minimum sentence for fentanyl distribution. So just about a week ago, and I know you had Courtney Sprunger on, Representative Sprunger on your show, she's got a bill that says for people that are convicted of distributing fentanyl in the state of Montana, maybe a court would impose a higher sentence, but we want to create a floor. We want to make sure that all of those people are going to the state prison for at least 2 years. That bill passed 90-10 in the House. That means there were 22 Democrats and 68 Republicans that voted for it. Earlier in the session, we had a separate bill that said if you're trafficking drugs and you are in possession, you brandish, you otherwise utilize a firearm in the course of your illegal drug trafficking activity. We had almost, I think, a unanimous vote saying we have to impose greater sentences in those cases. And so, again, the irony is when we are having minimum sentences and bigger sentences, what do folks who are voting for that think will be the result? It's obvious we are going to need more capacity than we had coming into the session, because we are doing some things to try to deal with problems. And we can agree or disagree on whether those are the right solutions, but we shouldn't have a debate about whether it's going to require more capacity.
All right. Yeah, great remarks there from Representative Bill Mercer. Caught up with him earlier this morning since he's tied up in committee hearing action right now here during our statewide show here. All right. Well, coming up after our break, well, we've got the phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks, whether you want to react to something I said, react to something Representative Mercer had to say there. By the way, he's a former U.S. attorney, so he is very knowledgeable when it comes to prosecuting criminals. Or maybe you got something you want to talk about. 406-294-0970. Lots to talk about, including this headline that just published earlier this morning. You know those hydropower dams in the Pacific Northwest that you've been hearing a lot?
So can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, it was funny. We went right to that break. I said, hey, the phone lines are open, and ding, 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 ding. Lots of folks started calling in. We do have a phone line open for you as well if you want to get in the queue. 406-294-0970. Yeah, I want to talk about this this story about how the Biden administration, President Biden, announced this week that he is committed to working with lawmakers who are backing tearing down four hydropower dams in Washington state to protect salmon. So as if he hasn't done enough dam damage yet, Joe Biden is considering tearing down these dams in the Pacific Northwest. And we know that that will impact what you're paying for your electricity in western Montana, as we've been hearing from our friends at the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. So we can talk more about that story here in just a second. Plus, this story getting a lot of attention and some interesting responses. I've got a story on our Montana Talks website here. There's a homeless man in Portland, Oregon, who claims that the city of Billings paid for a bus ticket to send him to the sanctuary city of Portland, Oregon. I just wish that story were true. Anyway, we'll talk about it in a second. First, let's go right into the phone lines. Don in Billings first up. Good to hear from you, Don.
Well, good morning.
Yeah, morning.
I heard talk just a couple of weeks ago that the state is considering building a new women's prison in on the Deer Lodge campus and moving the women's prison from Billings to Deer Lodge. And then the county would take over the old women's prison. I guess two questions. One is, has anyone heard that rumor? Is there any truth to it? And number two is, would that be a good idea?
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah, you know, I'll have to reach out to, I think, the former Gallatin County Sheriff is now the Corrections Department head, and maybe Sheriff Linder might be able to fill us in on that. That's an interesting proposal, yeah, because Yellowstone County needs more jail space, just like Cascade County and other counties do, right? So you've got that, yeah, I can see it from our studio windows right now where the Montana Women's Prison is at. And, yeah, could that be the extra jail space? And then they expand operations in Deer Lodge to have a women's prison there. That's interesting. What do you think?
Well, I think that it would take some time, of course, because it takes time and money to build a new facility. But it would be a solution for Yellowstone County.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. Maybe during the next break, I'll try to send a couple of text messages off, see if I can drum up anything in the meantime here. Don, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's see. Next up on the phone lines, looks like Ken in Billings wants to weigh in on the prison situation as well. Ken, what's your thoughts?
Well, you know, good morning. I like listening to your show. You know, I don't call in once in a great, great while, and this has been like 3 years ago last time.
So. Oh, wow. Well, it's an honor to know you're listening. Thanks for listening.
Well, I work with guys when they get out of prison, you know, to try to keep them with the mixture of the cranial rectotomy is successful.
You're a busy man, then. You've got your hands full. Yeah.
And, well, you know, the something that I've noticed around the state, you know, because I lived in Helena for a long time, and now I've moved to Billings, is that every time the cities or the counties want to get a new jail, all of a sudden, you know, they don't let people out like they used to do. They hold them in jail a lot longer, so it's costing the taxpayer of that city or county more money so they can talk them into getting a new jail. And that's what I see going on with the state. I had one of my guys that I worked with went back to prison. When he originally went to prison the first time back in the early 2000s, he was on what they call Fish Row, which is the intake area where they get classified and everything. He was on there like 50 days. He spent 143 days now on Fish Row. Hmm. He said the parole board is letting out. It was like 1 in 20 where it used to be, you know, about 50-50 they would let out, you know.
But see, to me, that's a good thing, though, because the problem we have in Montana is that too many of these criminals are being put right back out on the streets, and then too many of them are then committing crimes all over again. I mean, just like the guy that ran over the highway patrol trooper in Eureka, he had already been in the guy that stabbed four people at the steakhouse in downtown Billings was put back out on the streets by a liberal judge in Missoula, of all places. And so I kind of like the fact that Governor Gianforte's new appointees on the parole board are not letting loose as many criminals as they used to.
Well, but it's mandated that they do, when they do their time, you know, they do X amount of their time, they do all their programming, quote unquote, you know, their classes that they are required by the courts to do. When they get done with those, you know, then they're eligible for parole.
Yeah. And many of them before would get out in like a quarter of the time. They'd already be eligible for parole. So we hear that a judge gave somebody a 25-year sentence, and what we don't hear oftentimes is that, oh, well, they're eligible in one quarter of that time, and many of them before were just being put right back out.
But the thing of it is the court will require them that they have to do like chemical dependency or, you know, anger management, you know, all these different programs. And if they don't complete them, they don't get out. The parole board won't even see them if they don't have their program completed.
But that's part of the conversation, though. You're right. Is okay. You know, hey, are things going too far in this direction now? They were too far in the other direction. Are they going too far and not letting enough people out? I don't know. But it seems to me like, first off, thanks for what you do. It's like I say, you got your hands full trying to monitor these folks. But it seems like most of these crimes and these cases that we're hearing about involve repeat offenders over and over again that have been put right back out on the streets. Thanks for that call. Ken, let's go to Jed next up on the phone lines. Jed, what's your thoughts?
Well, I'm kind of riding the same train of thought as Ken. I did 5 years in prison, and I saw the parole board, and they denied my parole with I was treatment complete, clear conduct. What I saw happening in the prisons was overpopulation, money-hungry out-of-state corporations that are running the prisons, like CoreCivic. The state doesn't realize when you get convicted, the court tells you what you need to complete, and the parole board's not supposed to change that. And then you get to prison, they don't offer the groups or programs that they want you to do, so it makes it harder. But even when you see the parole board, they'll deny you until you're almost done. And the idea is to keep you there like you want, but also there has to be incentive for the inmate to get out due to his institutional conduct.
Yeah, and not all inmates. Yeah, and eventually we want, you know, a good chunk of these inmates to be restored and to get on a good path, because eventually they're going to be, like it or not, they're going to be back out on the streets, and we want them to get on the right path, right? And so, yeah, at what time is the right time? It'd be interesting. The numbers could tell us a good story. If the incarceration rates, how do the incarceration rates compare historically? Because I think just looking at the crime rates right now, looking at the crime headlines in places like Billings and elsewhere, it's astronomical, and it's often involving repeat offenders. So the story seems to be right now that there's too many people out on the streets that should be behind bars. But the rates of incarceration might tell that story one way or another. I think that what Representative Bill Marsher described earlier, and there might be cases here and there that stray from that, that narrative. But I think what Representative Mercer said earlier about the fact that we put too many eggs in the treatment basket. We put too many eggs in the pre-release basket, and those chickens have come home to roost now. And that's what we're seeing, combined with the massive infusion of Mexican drug cartel meth and fentanyl. Either way, Jed, thanks for your call. Great to hear from you. Jason and Bozeman next up on the phone lines. What's going on, Jason?
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to bring up a recent court case. A group of teens who grew up in a ranch near Glacier National Park are suing the state because they're saying that they do not have a right to a clean living environment in Montana. Laugh out loud. And they're claiming that the torrential downpours are eroding their trails, that the fires are scarring their lands and forcing them inside because they can't breathe. I'm like, okay, I got people in Kalispell. Since when was the last time it stopped raining in Kalispell? And since when was the last time there was no forest fires in Kalispell? And it just shows to go goes to show how corrupted the minds of our youth in this state have become.
So let me get this right. They're at a camp near in one of the most beautiful places in the entire world. They're at a camp, and they're complaining that that they don't get a clean and healthful environment. Is that really?
Yeah, they grew up on they grew up on a ranch near Glacier Park, and it's the BUSSEE versus the state of Montana. It's going on right now. There's 16 kids that got together. Most of them live in Kalispell. And yeah, they're claiming that you know it's not a clean environment. I don't know where else you could get a clean environment. They're saying the support of fossil fuels denies their right to a clean living environment.
I've seen that lawsuit. Yeah. So I live near Glacier National Park and near Whitefish Lake and near Big Mountain, and I don't have a clean, healthful environment. Well, okay, let's trade spaces then, buddy. Because I'll tell you what, I'd love to be living right on the shores of the lake, especially this summer myself. I've joked about, hey, let's move the studio there full time. So if you don't like your clean and healthful environment, it's not clean and healthfully enough for you, well, then I guess we got a bus ticket for you to Portland too, huh? All right. Yeah, that is funny. Well, thanks for sharing that, Jason. Thanks for calling in. 406-294-0970, the number for you. I know we got a number of other callers on the line that we will get to here right after the break. And then coming up later in the hour, Luster, Montana. Tonight's the big night. Schmeckfest is taking place. And I know there's at least one of you out there that's saying, Schmeckfest? What is Schmeckfest? And where is Luster, Montana? Well, don't worry. Don't worry if you weren't at the Class C basketball tournament. We'll tell you here in a few minutes because we got a great guest joining us from Luster later on this hour.
This is Where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
Well, not only is it National Ag Week, but the 93rd Montana State FFA Convention is being held in Great Falls at the Four Seasons Arena. I spoke with President of the Montana FFA Association, Brighton Lane, originally from the Huntley Project FFA chapter, on what's going on in Great Falls this week.
We have over 1,400 members registered for our state convention this year, which is the most that we've ever had, which is just amazing. At our big contest in November, we had record numbers as well. We're chartering a bunch of new chapters here, and we're nearing that 110 number of chapters. So we are just so excited to see all the new members and all the growth that there's been.
Montana FFA President Brighton Lane also had this message to FFA alumni and supporters.
Any support that they have, they don't understand the impact. Anything that they can do helps all of these members, has helped my team and I, and we just appreciate it more than we could ever say, because what they do, it enables us to be here and have this amazing convention and interact with all these amazing members. So we appreciate what they do more than we could ever express.
Again, the FFA convention runs through Saturday in Great Falls, and I even had the opportunity to do a Facebook Live interview with a Grass Range FFA member who just happens to be my nephew, and he was showcasing his ATV four-wheeler cattle guard that he built, and it was on display at the convention. It's a pretty good interview if you want to check it out on my Facebook page, Lane Nordland, Ag Broadcaster. Have a great day, everyone.
Oh,
broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so there was a story on Reddit where this liberal guy from the Citizen Free Press had a video with a guy claiming to be from Billings, Montana, claiming to be homeless, and claimed that the city of Billings paid for his bus ticket to the sanctuary city of Portland, Oregon. Now, I checked with the city of Billings. It's not true. They say they don't even have a program like that, and they didn't pay for the guy's bus ticket. But either way, great idea, right? Hey, if there's, you know, transients from out of state that are occupying space in Montana, why not give them a bus pass to the sanctuary city of Portland? Lori in Billings made a good point. She sent us a message on our Montana Talks app. Even if Billings paid for the bus ticket, did the guy ask for it? He accepted it. No one drug him onto the bus or made him stay on the bus all the way to Portland. That's a very good point. Like, oh, they gave me a bus pass to Portland. Oh, did they hold a gun to your head? Anyway, great point by Lori and Billings. Let's get back into the phone lines. We got Bruce in Whitewater listening to KMMR. Great to hear from you, Bruce.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Many years ago, I was working on a highway department in Oregon, and there was a fellow I was working with there, and during a break, we got to talking, and he said, and told about a time when he was in, I think he was in Canada, and he was standing on a street corner with another fella, and this very attractive woman walked by, and this fella made a comment about her, and the other fella just turned his back and wouldn't even look in that direction. And this one guy says, "Well, what's going on? What's wrong with you?" And he said, "I'll show you what's wrong." And he turned his back and pulled his shirt up in the back and showed his back, which had been scarred from a whipping. And he said, "That's what's wrong with me." He said, "I just looked once too often."
Oh.
And so I guess we're more civilized than that today. But at least, you know, that was a deterrent. That guy was out on the street. He gotten a whipping for what he had done. But he was determined it would never happen again.
So where's the deterrence in today's corrections systems, right?
Well, yes. Maybe corporal punishment is not all that unreasonable.
Well, and that's like, Sheriff Arpaio down in Arizona, when the jail was full, well, they set up a temporary structure facility, and they made it tough, and they even made them more pink. But, you know, whatever happened to the notion of deterrence when this crime is skyrocketing all across America? No, I appreciate the phone call, Bruce. Thanks for listening in Whitewater. Great to hear from you. Lots of callers on the line here. Let's go to Wanda in Malta. It may be a first-time caller. If not, it's been a while. Wanda, thanks for the call.
Thank you. I've been holding. But anyway, I want to talk to you a little bit about the prison system. My son was just released from Deer Lodge back in January, and the prison bused him to Gray Falls. They dropped him off. The only thing he had on was a pair of prison shorts and a coat and his backpack. He didn't have any money on him, so he had to walk over in the middle of winter, this was in January, to a Salvation Army to get pants. My point being is that I think our prison system, and I don't know if this is true, I would like somebody to clarify it for me, is there programs in the prison system themselves that will help these prisoners when they get out to enter the real world again? He was in for five years this time and previous, but from what I'm seeing with my son personally, there is no programs to help him, because I mean, he's homeless right now.
Well, and I know, for example, and you're right, like, yeah, I think we need to be tough on crime. I think there's too many people being released too early. But I also think that there's some of these points that you're raising are also good points that need to be brought up as well, which is how do we make improvements? For example, without using names on the show, I know a veteran who's a great veteran who was mentoring a veteran who ended up in prison. And was in one of these programs as he was getting out of prison and reintegrated into the community. Well, he's having phone calls. He's mentoring the guy. He's having phone conversations with the guy.
Yeah, I heard that previous caller.
Yeah, and
billions.
And they were being bilked, and this guy is being bilked in massive long-distance phone call bills. Well, it looks like long distance isn't even a thing anymore. I mean, calling you in Malta or calling somebody half a block away from here, calling somebody in Tokyo doesn't even hardly cost a dime anymore. So why are we bilking these guys with, you know what I mean? So I appreciate your phone call and I appreciate the people that are doing these prison ministry programs in particular, meeting with these men and women in the jails and meeting with them in the prisons as well. And 'cause that's huge. And it's important. Yeah, Wanda, thanks for the call. And if you want, send me an email, aaron@montanatalks.com, and I'll forward that on to some contacts. Because, it's a good question. And maybe the ball got dropped somewhere, though. So appreciate your phone call. Thanks for listening in. Let's see. We are supposed to have our guest from Luster on here any second. We might have to double check our email. If our guest from Luster is listening in, the number, 294-0970, if you can call us, that's much easier. Sometimes we get a little wrapped up in the conversations, and so that's always easier for you to call us if you can. Let's see, Daryl and Kalispell on the phone lines in the meantime. What's going on, Daryl?
Oh, not much. Been doing a lot of research on the issue with RV parking in Livingston. And, the frustrating part for everybody that lives there, including right on John, is the fact that all of these people that are putting up all these laws, quote unquote, they're not elected officials, okay? And I don't know where Mountain View is, but it's in the Mountain View paper. All this stuff started in 2020. And basically, out of the 500-plus streets, they're blocking off 444 of them with signage and postage that says you can't park here, vehicles can't be over 28 feet long, over 7 feet tall, blah, blah, blah. So where are all these people supposed to go if you're turning them all into criminals and penalizing them for fines up to $500 a day for whatever reasons? I mean, it's just, this is just insanity.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've been thinking about that. It's like, man, if I ever had to sell my house or whatever, man, I'm keeping my camper because that's my house wherever I go. And I love living in my camper, especially if I'm by a lake or something. But, yeah, now for people that are piling into Montana from other states, okay, maybe that'll be a deterrent for them. But what about people that got their rent jacked up and they can't afford it and that's their only option? That's where it really gets to be a challenge. So, Daryl, thanks for sharing that. 30 seconds before the break, let's see. Ben in Billings, you got something quick you want to share?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I worked for DOC for a little over 20 years. And what I've seen is we've had this overcrowding thing going on for at least 20 years. And it doesn't seem to matter who's in the governor's office. Nobody wants to finance building more prisons. The reason that we built Shelby Prison was when we shipped inmates out of state the last time, we had
customers paid for their testimonials.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to change the SOP around here. We'll have to start calling our guests here in the 9 o'clock hour because I forget just how flooded our phone lines get. We have so many great listeners and so many great callers that folks will just flood the phone lines. Bill Redig at a Luster Christian High School, thanks for joining us. I apologize about the phone lines. I should have just planned to call you in the first place.
No problem. I got through, so that's all that matters.
That's right. Schmeckfest is tonight, the 58th annual German Festival of Tasting in Luster, Montana. Well, some of our listeners may be wondering, what is Schmeckfest and where the heck is Luster? What do you tell people?
Well, we are out in the middle of nowhere. We're north of Wolf Point, about 40 miles, and we're from north of Glasgow, about, around 60, a little under 60 miles. So we're close to Canada and not far from North Dakota. So, yeah, we're up in the northeast corner.
I remember being there for, I think it was a spelling bee when I was a kid back in the 80s. I think that's where the county spelling bee, I think, was there. I was there one year, and I got to take part in that. But, yeah, so it's a German festival of tasting. Is Luster like an island of Germans in the Sea of Scandinavians up there, or what?
Well, and when they opened up, you know, for homesteading in 2016, 2015, I mean, 1915, 1916, a bunch of German Mennonites moved into this area and homesteaded. And, yeah, they ended up starting a school, Luster Bible Academy, in 1928. And then it became a accredited four-year high school in 1948. And, yeah, it was changed to Luster Christian High School. So.
And the school just has a remarkable reputation, as an incredible Christian community, an incredible Christian school. And for the first time ever, Luster Christian made it into the state basketball tournament. I was there. I was hanging out with John Mackart from KCGM Radio out of Scobie. And our friends in KVCK were the ones that told me about the latest Schmeckfest news happening tonight. But, man, it sure was fun watching that Luster game.
Yeah, it was. Man, it's been a long time coming, but we've been close before, but never made it to state. So it was a huge accomplishment for the boys. So it was a lot of fun.
What I thought was interesting, and some people may have heard us talk about this a couple of weeks ago, but you actually have a boarding school. And so a lot of these other countries have still been locked down because of COVID. And so you've got kids from all over the world, Africa, the Caribbean, Taiwan. And because these parents want their kids to experience school life and be social, and so they're able to do that out in the middle of nowhere in Luster. But if I was just walking into the basketball tournament and seeing some of the players on your team, somebody might think, oh, they recruited these great basketball players from these other countries. And John was actually telling me that these kids had actually never even played basketball before they got to Luster.
Yeah, that is correct. We get kids from all over. They just find us online. We're one of the cheapest boarding schools around. And, yeah, that's kind of why we have to have Schmeckfest, because we depend on about over 50% from donations to run our school. So they come from all over, yeah. It's pretty amazing.
So what kind of German smorgasbord awaits everybody tonight?
Well, we got Vareniki with some amazing gravy. We got sausage, Prischke, all these foods that most people probably haven't heard of, but they're delicious. We have roast beef for people that want roast beef. And pepper nuts, soups. I mean, it's just a buffet of pretty much a feast.
That's awesome. So, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And once you make it to Luster, it's not too hard to find the high school.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much the only thing in Luster is a high school and a great school and a couple churches. So, yeah.
And everybody talks about what an incredible community you've got out there. With about a minute and a half to go, what do you think it is that makes the community so special and so great?
Well, I think it's honestly is the school and the churches that hold this community together. We have all the schools, you know, communities around us that have ended up closing, which is pretty sad. The schools I played against, and this Christian school, boarding school, has kept our community together. It keeps us basically unified. One goal, to reach these kids. You know, they come from all over the U.S. and the world. And tell them about the gospel, and also just to give them a great education and you know, a great future for life ahead. And this whole event, I guess, takes the whole community working together. We're pretty much a farm and ranch community. So it's pretty neat experience.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. Their website is lusterchristian.org, L-U-S-T-R-E, lusterchristian.org. The fan section you had at the Metro for the state basketball tournament, I think anybody who'd ever lived in Luster was there for the game and for the tournament. How many people officially live in Luster before we wrap up?
I don't know. Around, I mean, it's a big area. You're talking farming community. So
yeah.
I would say around 200 people, you know, around. But it's a big square.
Yeah,
you know,
scattered
mile.
Across the hills, I mean, scattered across the prairie. That's for sure. Bill Reddick, an honor to chat with you. Thanks for all you do. And have a great time at Schmeckfest tonight.